Books of the Bible. The book of Isaiah is a collection of prophecies given to Isaiah. It can be divided in two parts. Isaiah delivered bad news to Israel and the surrounding nations concerning God's judgment, and he delivered good news of salvation for those who repent. Isaiah also offers detailed prophecies concerning the coming Messiah who offers eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Al Mohler. Paging Al Mohler, please. This is Wretched Radio, Hell Under Fire. You can probably guess what the cover of this book looks like. Yeah, it has a lot of flames on it, but it is a compilation, contributions by a number of conservative theologians regarding the doctrine of hell. Why? Because this doctrine is, under fire. Al Mohler, he kicks off this lengthy treatment on the subject of hell with an examination of some of the history of annihilationism. And this is instructive for us. But I think before we share what Al Mohler wrote, I think we would do well to ponder just for a moment to establish the premise. How influential is culture on our theology? How influential is the world on our hermeneutic? How influential is Hollywood, academia, science? How much pressure do they exert on our theology? And I think the answer to that question, it's undeniable. They exert a lot of influence. Do you accept that premise? Because if you do, then you will appreciate Al Mohler's treatment of the cultural influences that have helped the doctrine of annihilationism stay alive when, in my estimation, it has just no biblical support. And why is it that we continue to see some folks hold on to this aberrant theology? And the answer, I think, is culture. Now, Al Mohler spends a little time. I think this is just worth sharing because it puts an exclamation point on making sure that we remember the ancient history of the church's position on annihilationism. He writes about Origen being a rejection of the patristic consensus. In other words, the early church overwhelmingly believed in ECT, and the church responded at Constantinople II. It was the Fifth Ecumenical Council, 6th century. There were a number of anathemas against Origen and his teaching. Here's the ninth anathema. If anyone says or thinks that the punishment of demons and of impious men is merely temporary and will one day have an end, and that a restoration, that's the view that one day everybody's going to be with God, it's all going to be restored. If you believe that that will take place of demons and of impious men, let him be anathema, oofta. The general consensus, writes Mohler, held through the medieval and Reformation eras of the church, rejections of the traditional doctrine were limited to peripheral sects and heretics. That's Al Mohler bringing us up to speed. Up until the Age of Enlightenment, it was this particular period in time where an increasing consensus was persuaded God doesn't exist, and if he does, at best, he's a deistic God, but he's not one that is sovereign over everything. And for those who didn't believe in God, the complete rejection of God, who then sits on the throne of the world? And the answer is humans do. It's the Age of Enlightenment, the Age of Reason, the Age of Science. To Al Mohler, we go. Various atheisms emerged along with heretical groups such as the Socinians and the English Arians. This is in the 17th and the 18th centuries. These are some of the, remember, Arianism, very bad, compromises Christology. Socinianism, a total dog's breakfast. You think of every bad Christological and soteriological heresy, and the Socinians affirm it. And they were affirming annihilationism from Mohler. A belief in the annihilation of the wicked became apparent among the Socinians. They argued that eternal torment was an unjust penalty for temporal sins and that the character of God would not allow such unjust punishments. Isn't that interesting? The Socinians thought they were defending the character of God And in a sense, they were, but only one aspect of his character, his niceness. He's too good. He's too loving to do that. And they forget or disregard or are oblivious to his justice, righteousness, and wrath. Their logic was basically shared by the English Arians and the Platonists, who also joined in their rejection of the doctrine of the Trinity. Don't forget, there is a current argument about who has been influenced by Plato, because the annihilationists make the claim that ECT people, they've been the ones who have been influenced by Plato and therefore came up with their position. Interestingly, we say the same thing about the annihilationists, that it was Plato that influenced them. Back to R. Relbert Moeller. The real doctrinal crisis for hell would come among those who considered themselves Christians in the next century. In Britain, the crisis befell the Victorians. And you say, wait, whoa, what? They were all prim and proper. Queen Victoria, she was like really religious, right? But Al Mohler brings out the cultural values of the Victorian era actually made their way into theology. The Victorian age was an era of great church going. Attendance at churches, it was up, all-time high. But the age also produced radical doubt and the negation of dogma. Among the Victorians, hell became something of an obsession. The rejection of the traditional doctrine extended throughout the elites of society, including William Gladstone, by the way, asserted hell has been relegated to the far-off corners of the Christian mind, there to sleep in the deep shadow as a thing needless as our enlightened and progressive age. That's key. They're enlightened. They're progressives. They're moderns. Therefore, we know better than all of those people who understood the Bible to say that hell is eternal conscious torment. In other words, their Age of Enlightenment and their Victorian sensibilities were starting to influence theology. And it happened a lot, by the way. The devastating impact of Victorian doubt was visited upon the 20th century as its lasting legacy, writes Moeller. Gulp. Historian Jeffrey Rowell argues for the Victorian and historic doctrine of hell, established in a straightforward acceptance of biblical text, was simply too awful to contemplate, much less to accept and teach. And we're Victorians, we're prim, we're proper. Ooh, so barbaric, so terrifying. It doesn't fit with our Victorian sensibilities. Quote from the book, whereas preachers in earlier eras were concerned to save persons from punishment of hell, those who believed in annihilationism were determined to save their congregation from the fear of the idea of hell. The Victorian concern for decency ruled hell out of bounds. It was simply not a doctrine that persons considered decent and respectable by Victorian standards. So what do? You find a way to get rid of it. Victorians were insistent that the punishment must fit the crime. Apparently, this argument was to become even more persuasive in the 20th century. There was another aspect that Moeller brings out about the Victorians, and that is dads, fathers. They were supposed to be, yes, in control, but loving and running peaceful households where children are well-behaved and society flourishes. A father who sends his children to hell? Incompatible with the Victorian understanding of what a father should be. And what did it do? It made its way into the church. From Al Mohler, the same currents of theological change were also evident in America. Deists, Unitarians, they rejected the idea. God isn't a judge. He's too nice. In certain circles, higher criticism. Oh, our friend, higher criticism, where man stands in judgment of the Bible. And that's really what's happening here, if you ask me. had undermined confidence in the Bible as divine revelation, and churchmen increasingly treated hell as a metaphor. The divinity schools, they've been invaded by liberals, and the doctrine of hell was just considered abhorrent. Historian William Hutchinson has called the modernist impulse, with its emphasis on divine immanence rather than transcendence. We like daddy God. We like nice, warm, fuzzy God, not this big, scary God who's in control of everything. American liberals of the Victorian era included influential preachers like Henry Ward Beecher, who rejected the old orthodoxy with its spiritual barbarism and hideous doctrines. In other words, we became more sophisticated than God himself. We became more wise and certainly less barbaric than the God who sends people to hell for forever. But wait, courtesy of Al Mohler, the history of annihilationism continues in America. Next on Wretched Radio.
You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though it's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok. Your marriage is under attack. And the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Crotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Glosson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Crotz. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ah, the influence of culture. Danger, Will Robinson. This is Wretched Radio. We cannot think that we are immune from the pressure that culture exerts on our theology. It gets into us. It seeps into our pores. We breathe the cultural air, and it informs how we should go about the business of understanding the Bible. We see from church history, every era has been influenced by cultures. And it got more intense, I should say most intense, starting in the Age of Enlightenment. God either doesn't exist or he's a barbarian God. We human beings know better about how to run the planet. It's the age of reason. It trumps theology. It's the age of science. It's better than the Bible. Enter the Victorian era, where we became increasingly sophisticated and simply could not stand the thought of a God who condemns people to hell for eternity. And they're miserable there the entire time. It was deemed barbaric. Al Mohler sums it up. Victorians increasingly came to the conclusion that God was universally benevolent and would judge persons based on their response and access to truth. Christianity was the brightest light of religion. Historian James Turner summarizes, God had to be humanitarian. They wanted a humanitarian God would drive the many of the theological reformations of the 20th century with repercussions throughout the system of theology. In other words, what the Victorians began to embrace and start to preach in their churches, it didn't stop reverberating. Now we need to remember these reverberations were not the majority, and yet this is an explanation for why it is that a doctrine that I simply do not think has biblical support continues to persist. There are cultural influences. Furthermore, our human sensibilities sometimes rebel against God's will. We find ourselves struggling with the divine. We find ourselves thinking, well, maybe there's another way to view this because this just makes God a little too scary for me. This makes him a little too big, a little too ominous. So what do? We let it influence our theology. That's Al Mohler's point. He enters into the 20th century. From Rudolf Bultmann, the cosmology of the New Testament is essentially mythical in character. Uh-oh, that's not good. Stating the Bible presents an essentially mythological picture of reality that is incompatible with the modern scientific worldview. It's kind of comforting to know every generation thinks they're smarter than the last, because we see that these days, don't we? Anybody from history is a dodo bird because, well, it's we know everything, and we've got science, and look at the advancements in technology. And so we look back at people who preceded us and we conclude, well, their thinking just doesn't matter in the conversation. And so it is with Bultmann, who's a theologian you don't want to follow. He said that we just know too much. We are modern scientists. This mythological worldview is therefore unacceptable to modern man whose thinking has been shaped by science and is therefore no longer mythological. The Bible is a myth? That was not the only group of individuals that were thinking that annihilationism is a view worth considering. Let me take you to Vatican II. Vatican II, those who through no fault of their own do not know the gospel of Christ or his church, but who nevertheless seek God with a sincere heart and moved by grace, try in their actions to do his will as they know it through the dictates of their conscience, those too may achieve eternal salvation. What is that? Now, that means that you don't have to believe in Jesus Christ. That is a form of universalism. Did you know that was happening in the Roman Catholic Church, according to Vatican II? Pope John Paul II redefined hell in 1999. General audience at the Vatican, quote, the traditional doctrine of hell was redefined to remove virtually all threat of external torment and any sense of place. The Pope stated, Hell is not a punishment imposed externally by God, but the condition resulting from attributes and actions which people adopt in this life. Oh, I see. So some people are living in hell now, except for the fact that the Bible teaches we're not. It is appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. And God will determine everybody's eternal destinies. According to the Pope in 1999, that's not exactly what hell is. From Moeller, the liberal and self-described mainstream Christian theologians who taught in the university divinity schools and seminaries of mainline Protestantism were in basic agreement with the Roman Catholic position. That is because of the influence of our modernist culture. Humans know better than God. And therefore, we find a way to dismantle what the Bible clearly teaches about the eternality of hell. This is from Moeller. Though the Victorian elites no longer believed in hell, the evangelicals both believed and preached it. And so you've still got people who are preaching the doctrine of hell. Charles Spurgeon, zoinks, did he preach about hell? Evangelical preachers on both sides of the Atlantic made hell a major focus of their preaching. A few figures on the periphery of evangelical thought offered revisions of the traditional doctrine of hell in the early 20th century, but overall it has been evangelicals that are holding the line on the doctrine of hell. And it appears that we are currently being confronted with another challenge to do just that. And so it is if we are going to be biblicists and if we are going to honor those who fought for fidelity in centuries past, we need to contend earnestly for the doctrine of hell. This isn't a chit-chat. This is a big deal. The stakes are high, not the way they're being presented as just, hey, another conversation. No. The stakes on this are high. And historically, while there has definitely been some squishy sides here and there in evangelicalism, it is evangelicals who have towed the line on the historic understanding of eternal conscious torment. And we're called to do it again. Al Mohler concluding his study as to why it is that annihilationism / conditionalism is even alive at all today, and why it seems more evangelicals are attracted to the idea of conditionalism. Mohler asked the questions, what happened to evangelical convictions about hell? First, it's a changed view of God. The biblical vision of God has been rejected by the culture as too restrictive on human freedom, offensive to human sensibilities. There's cultural pressure again. God's love has been redefined so that it is no longer holy. It's just warm and fuzzy. And a warm, fuzzy God wouldn't send people to hell for forever. This is from Mohler. They are seeking to rescue God from the eternal punishment and the bad reputation God picked up by associating with theologians who for centuries taught the traditional doctrine. Our doctrine of God is at stake here. Who is this God we worship? Theologian Voss warned against the abstracting of the love of God from his other attributes. Yes, God's love is revealed to be his fundamental attribute. We can't forget that, my conservative friends. But it is defined by his other attributes as well. This is why we've got to make sure that we don't become evangelical reductionists. God is just love. No, he's not just love. God is love, but he's holy, righteous, just, a consuming fire. Al Mohler's claim is that we've kind of become reductionist Christians, changing our view of God because of the pressure of culture. A second issue is a changed view of justice. Retributive justice has been the hallmark of human law since pre-modern times. You do something bad, you get punished for it. Why? Because that's the way the Bible presents justice. Rejecting this idea is only really been esteemed By modernists, this concept assumes that punishment is a natural and necessary component of justice. Nevertheless, retributive justice has been under assault for many years in Western cultures, and this has led to modifications on the doctrine of hell. Al Mohler claiming that there is another, a third, if you will, shift, larger cultural concerns, the advent of the psychological worldview. Oh boy, paging Greg Giffert. Human behavior has been redefined by the impact of humanistic psychologies that deny or replace personal responsibility for wrongdoing. Fourth, it has to do with the concept of salvation, sin being redefined, the suffering of our Savior being redefined, and the conclusion then of the conditionalist and the annihilationist having felt the pressure of culture is to change the doctrine of hell. And that impacts the doctrine of God. And that is why this is currently a very big deal. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.